Welcome to The Rolldown. This podcast is for people of color who need a space to be known and seen, and guidance for those who are in the pursuit of justice. We are your hosts, Alethea Lamberson
and Matthew Melendrez.
What it do, what it do?
It's good to be here. It's good to see you.
Always.
Again, oh, we get to see each other, but people can't see us, but it's good to see you.
One day.
Yeah, one day. Yeah, how are you doing?
Oh man, how am I doing? That feels like a very loaded question these days. I saw on Twitter.
How do I do that? I hate when people ask me that and leave it open ended, and I still do it to people. So my bad.
You did. You just did it. How you doing? Real talk. You know, it's been a struggle. You know, the last few months have been for me. Just have been really tough emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And so I feel like I'm just hanging in there. Honestly, I'm just okay. I'm grateful for the people I have in my life who are kind of helping me and encouraging me and asking me really good questions. But yeah, I'm excited for some spring weather. But yeah, I'm hanging in there. So that's how I'm honestly doing. I saw something on Twitter the other day that said, something about like, are we all just pretending that we're just tired or burnt out? And people are like, no, I know that I am. Like, it's pretty obvious. Like, there's no need to fake it, you know? So, and I was like, yes, that. Or another one I saw, it said, something about a memoir. Like, I am just kind of just done. Like, I'm just exhausted. And I was like, yeah, that if I was going to write a book, that's what it would be. That would be a memoir right now. That's where I'm at. So that's how I'm doing.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Matthew? Let me flip this on you.
Yeah, I think if I had a memoir, I would say like stuck in 2020 or something.
Oh,
but,
Lord. I would not same. Read that. Yeah. I'm sorry. I would not read that.
It would be very popular. similar. Yeah, I think it's a layered question. Even when people say how you're doing, I think it's like, well, what part of life are you wanting to know about? Not in a way that I compartmentalize, but there's certain things that do feel more joyful and good, and there's some other things that feel very heavy. I feel similar mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Definitely been a struggle for many reasons. And I saw something. I'm not a Twitter person, but I'm the IG, but I saw someone post on IG that it was like, it's okay to be healing, happy, and hurting all at the same time.
Ooh.
And I was like, that in three words just capture probably how I'm going to answer now. It's like three are happening at the same time. Like there are things I'm really happy or joyful about. There's things that I know I'm in process of healing, and things I'm like, I feel like I'm seeing the other side of the healing, or things I'm like, oh, I'm just starting the healing, and things I'm hurting in. And so I feel like, which I think a lot of people can probably relate to that. There's just layers of things kind of going on. So, yeah. So kind of happy, healing, and hurting.
Man, that's good. I need to write that down somewhere because it's very integrated. I like that.
Yep.
For multiple reasons. So, man, that's good. I feel like others were probably like, as they listen, like, oh, yep, that's a good way to capture it.
Well, that's the podcast. So let's just end it there.
Yep, there. And that's it, guys. Thanks.
Our shortest one ever. but I think it captures, you know, I imagine a lot of people who, in the world, and people who are listening probably will say that there are kind of, it's what we've been talking about, the both and kind of two things can be true, or in this case, three. But it's I think that's really true. And one of the things that I've just been reflecting on, and I would want to say on the front end of the podcast, is as life is starting to open back up, and vaccines or herd immunity and all that, there is something I read about how we need to be careful of not saying too loosely, oh, I can't wait for things to go back to normal. Because for a lot of people, there's over almost 600,000 people in our country alone who lost someone, jobs and homes and so many things. So I've been trying to be very cognizant of even how I talk about as things are shifting back to what they, not to what they were, but shifting to a new normal.
That's good.
And so I just want to be careful even like, but at the same time, like I know there is still this excitement. I think it's almost like that healing, happy and hurting as things go back to normal, quote unquote. I think it's we're all new people, different people. And so But I'm curious though, for you, as things kind of go back to being open at least, and what are some of the things that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, there's a few things. It's so funny, today I had this random thought, like, I can't wait to go to a concert. Now, let me just, I don't go to concerts all the time, and I have very specific type of concerts I go to. It's so funny, Jackie Hill Perry posted this the other day, and she was like, I just can't wait to go to a concert. Like, the first one I could go to, even if it's Taylor Swift, sorry to Taylor Swift fans, I am not one, so I loved this jab. But she said, even if it's Taylor Swift, like, I'm gonna be up in there, you know? Yeah. And I'm not at that point. Sorry, y'all, I'm just not there. But yeah, just like, Andy Mineo is one of my favorite artists, like, across genres, so I'm like, maybe it's because I was doing laundry and I saw my shirt from when I went to his first headline tour, and it just took me back. Like, man, I might need to sit a little bit. You know, I've turned 34 recently, and so the body just, you know, I don't know if I can do the whole, like, stay in the front and stand for a few hours thing. It might take me like a week to recover, realizing. So may need to sit a little bit. But yeah, that's one of the things, is like, to just be able to go to a concert. And I think just like to freely travel, honestly, like, I really do enjoy traveling. And I feel like there's kind of going to be some maybe layers to that, like, as I haven't traveled internationally in a while, and I do miss that. And so as I kind of dream with friends about taking like a girls trip or something, I feel like there might be some stipulations or some things to potentially go into certain places. But I think just in general, like, that freedom of traveling and not having to do all the things that we have to do currently, you know, if we were to travel. So, and just to be with people, honestly, like, that's really, I can say all a bunch of other things, but really just being with people without fear, you know, or just, everyone being able to, not even fear myself, but just enjoying it, like, you know, and not like, oh, it's too cold to be outside, or can't do that, or it's only a few people, or being respectful of where, how people are experiencing things. And so I think just like that freedom of just being able to gather with my people, whether it's 2 or it's 20, you know, like, honestly, like, at my core, like, that's what I'm really excited about and looking forward to, and grateful that I have friends here to still gather with, you know, as you mentioned, so much loss, or just how things have just drastically changed for so many people. So I am recognizing, just trying to hold that intention, you know, and to even hold more closely those that I love and care about and spending time with. Like I said, that's really at the core of it, is to gather with my people. So that would be it for me for sure. What about you? Like, what are you know, I'm sure there are multiple things on your list as well, but what are you looking forward
to? Well, first, I'm excited that you can hold Micah.
Oh, and I know. Oh, my auntie heart is just, even thinking about that just excites me, because, wow.
Yeah. And honestly, I think that, you know, we were, the first year of life, developmentally, is more important for nurture from the parents. And so I'm watching so many other kids are experiencing so much more challenges and developmental challenges, social challenges because of it. But even though it wasn't as crucial from a developmental standpoint, it certainly has been sad that really only me and Lindsay have held him, and we're pretty much the only ones who've kissed him. And so I think I'm just excited to just, like, all right, everyone, like, take him for days. And and so I think that's honestly one of the things, just seeing people be able to hold him and kiss him and play with him without fear. And I share the same sentiment, as, you know, I think throughout this whole last year, it's not just, so I don't want to get it, but if I in the chance had it and I was asymptomatic, I never want to give it to someone. And so I think that freedom in relationships, friendships and family is just something I'm really looking forward to. Cause I'm just like, the cold, or like, are we too close, or, you know, always having to do all the check-ins before you see someone. And so I think I'm excited to not have to do that, or to the extent that we've had to. I'm also really looking forward to going to the movies. I am a movie theater person. It's my jam. I can be in movies for hours and so I'm really looking forward to that, especially that Marvel is just like on steroids in 2021. And so I'm like, give me all you got. You are think you're keeping me in mind as a consumer, because I'm like, I'll have it all.
That's so I think yeah, movies. Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I'll go to the movie theater, but I really haven't minded when they're like, oh, we'll just roll down on Disney Plus. Shout out to my brother and sister-in-law for the hookup. So I'm good. I make my popcorn at home, get my snacks, but I like an outing every now and then. But I do feel for the moviegoers.
Yeah,
that y'all will be able to be back in your domain.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to the movies, and I'm sure some like traveling and, but just seeing people, I think, you know, so much of, you know, a lot of our friends, we were all scattered across the country. And so to be able to come together and hang out and especially, you know, I think community is so important in the midst of really painful things. And so this last year, all of us, you know, have been in so much pain. And so, wow, that's actually, I didn't even plan that, but that's a perfect segue.
I know it is a perfect segue, but I just want to, I have to interject though to your perfect segue. Because when you're saying, I was thinking about this as you were talking, I'm excited to come back to SLO and actually come in the house and hang out with y'all and be hosted by you and Lindsay. Like I feel like y'all talked it up so much and I wasn't able to get the full experience. No. So that's going to be near the top of the list. When it's like, hey, let's do this. I also forgot my bottle of wine at your, you know, I left it in SLO. So I need to come back for that too. You know?
You have a couple things that you left in the gift basket we gave you. And so we didn't consume your wine or chips. Actually, I think we did eat your chips, but we didn't consume
Understandable.
Your wine.
But wine can say, shout out to the Airbnb host. She was super kind, reminding me about that. She could have just tossed that. Come on now.
Or kept it, you know.
I mean, it was a bomb gift basket. Let me tell you what.
Yeah, if you come visit us, we'll treat you well. And so, yeah, so this episode today, I'm excited. It feels like a good, almost part two, but kind of in our last episode that was on empathy, containment, and validation. I think this will be very connected in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And in light of so many of us in the world right now who are like those three things, happy, healing, and hurting. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, what does that look like to heal? What does it look like to process hurt and to celebrate with others? And so I think it's really important for us to think about, like, how do we take care of ourselves in the midst of doing this work?
Yeah.
And also just living life that's also complex and challenging in of itself. And so, yeah, we've been asking people, like, what are some of the things that you want us to talk about? And some of the things have been, what does it look like to practice self-care in the midst of fighting for justice? What does it look like to just making sure that we don't burn out? And so even on the front, I want to say, like, we're no experts. I feel like we're trying
not
to even figure this
close.
Out. And I think some of the things that we're probably going to share are because we have gotten to the end of the rope and just like, I don't know what to do. I need help. And so, yeah, this episode is going to be focusing on two things in particular and how what's important. There's many things important in the fight for justice, but what are some of the things that help us not to burn out? And so this episode, we're going to focus on community and self-care in the midst of fighting for justice. And so, yeah, and we just find these are too important. I think these are two things that are when so much is happening, you know, and we've seen this in the last few weeks alone. It's like there's so much more overt violence towards the Asian American community and people from Asian descent. There's trials. There's still children in cages. There's so much that we're still crying out for justice and wanting to see things change. And so I know that there's still so many of us that are still hurting in many, many ways. And so this is something that we thought, okay, these two things could be really and these are something that we were seeing pop up in our friendships of checking in, like, hey, what are you doing in self-care? Are you talking to people? And so as we think about those two things, Lethea, what are just some of the things that come to mind when you think about community and self-care and the fight for justice?
Oh, man, there's so much that comes to mind. Y'all, I will die on this hill. I'll bang this drum until I can no longer. Community is one of the most important things that you can have.
Amen.
And I've had several people over the last few years just like say to me, like, you're so intentional with your community, wow, your community is so rich, or things of that nature. And I am grateful that people recognize that, because it's been because I've been intentional. Also because people have been intentional with me. So that's one of the beautiful things about community, is it's reciprocated. It's yeah. not just a one-way street, right? That's when I think it's genuine and it's real. And so, yeah, for me, community is one of the most important things in my life. I am an extreme extrovert. I love people. It's been harder recently because of the virtual space that we're in, for me to be as connected to as many people as I typically would be if I could see them in person and do some different things. My capacity to engage has just been a little bit lower, I've noticed. But my people, like, they pray for me. They encourage me. They ask me hard questions. They ask me good questions. They laugh with me. They cry with me. You know, I tell people, they sit in the trenches with me. Like, when ish has hit the fan, I know the people I can count on. Like, there's no question in my mind. I could rattle off people right now of, I will call, FaceTime, text, Marco Polo, you know, one of the many forms of communication.
Yeah.
And they're going to respond. And it may not be right away, but, or it might, you know, but then they're going to sit with me in that, and they're going to ask me some really good questions. And so as they've gotten to know me at a deeper level, some of my, like, really inner community people, they know, they can recognize, like, when I'm not doing well, or when I'm struggling, or when I might even be, like, compartmentalizing, or if I'm kind of, like, recently one of my best friends was like, you sound really heady, like, everything's in your head, and you are usually really connected to how you're feeling. And I didn't even, until she articulated it, I was like, oh, that's exactly what's happening. Why? I need to kind of dig into that now. And so having people that, like, really genuinely know you is a game changer, but it does take work. And so I'm just, I'm grateful to the Lord for what he's, how he's challenged, the Lord has challenged me to really invest in my community, to invest in people. And it's very layered for me. So I would say my community is, it feels expansive in the sense I have, like, my inner circle, of people. It's women and men. You're in that, you know, and then there's kind of the people that I know I can still go to and find encouragement and do life with and some of those things. But that's it. I do have, like, that inner, I think the inner circle of your community is what grounds you. It's what sustains you. It's the people that, you know, are committed to pray for you and encourage you, who are going to show up when you need your people to show up. And so, as I think about that in the midst of justice work, even recently, again, with all that's been going on, I've had some of my inner circle people have asked me really good questions, like, hey, I know you're one that tends to carry, like, the emotional weight of your friends. Like, you carry that burden to a fault sometimes, or more than you should. How are you actually doing and holding that? That's a really good question for me. Because those lines get blurred sometimes, or it's like I get into, like, I just care so much, and can I fix it? How can I fix? And I get into, like, fix it mode almost. And that's not always the decision that needs to be made. And so their questions cause me to reflect, and it makes me slow down and pause to really assess. Cause I know if I give them a BS answer, they're going to push back on it. And I feel like my inner circle, they even know when to discern, like, when do I need to press? Or it's like, okay, Alethea might be in her feelings right now, so let me wait a little bit and circle back. And again, it's because they know me. Like, they really know me. They know what makes me tick. They know what sets me off. They know, because I trust him. I think we talked about this recently, just that layer, the vulnerability, like, it's scary, but I've been very vulnerable with them too. So it's required me to take a step of trust with them. But because I've been that vulnerable and I've shared honestly about some different things, they know how to, when they need to respond, or they need to say, hey, you need to work through what's going on, or let's get underneath the surface of what's happening. And what do you need to do to work through that? Or what do you need right now? Do you just need to cry? Do you just need to yell? I have a stress ball that I throw at the wall sometimes when I'm mad. They're like, do you need to do that? Do you need to go get some coffee? Do you just need to leave the house and go for a walk? What do you want for dinner? I got you, you know? And so I just am grateful, like, for the key people I have in my life who respond in those ways. But again, like I said, community is so important in the and the work of pursuing justice, because we support each other, we encourage each other. It does help me stay grounded. It, my community also helps me lift my eyes above what's currently happening, like not getting stuck, but helps me, draws me back to Jesus. Like that's what I'm getting at, is the reminders of who is the one that sustains us, who is the one that's providing, who is the one that's helping us understand of how to respond and what to do and how to fight for justice. Like my community, I can get caught up in the whirlwind of the chaos and the pain of what's happening, and I can miss that. And so my community also pulls me up and points me back to the Lord. And so I need all of that. Like, and so that's why for me, it's like, I will continue to make space and invest in my community, in my people, because they ride for me and I'm going to ride for them. And it's one of the most important things in my life, that I know what life was like before I had rich community. I can remember back to 9 years ago when I was back home in Ohio living with my family in a transition time, and I didn't have community. I didn't have people even my age and my same life, seasons of life. And so it was really lonely. And just what's changed so much in the last like probably 4 or 5 years has been significant for me. So I will choose people over task every single time. Yeah. And I'm gonna continue to invest in my community as my community invests in me, because it matters. It's important. And we were created to be in relationship with people too. I don't want to miss that, right? We were created to exist in community. And so I feel for people who are scared to do that because they've been harmed. I feel for people who just aren't sure how to engage in relationships in that way, and don't have the richness of community. So I know that's layered and multifaceted of why, and I don't want to overlook that. And I recognize, again, it feels like such a gift to me that my community is what it is. And I work really hard to not take that for granted. I'm not perfect, and I do sometimes, but I do recognize that when I get moments like this to reflect on the community that God has been so kind to give to me, and entrust me with, and entrust them with too. So clearly community is important to me, and it matters, and I love it. So anyways, Matthew, I would love to hear your thoughts too. I know you got a rich, solid community as well. So how has your community been for you in the fight for justice?
Mm-hmm. Well, before going there, I just appreciate what you shared as far as just that last bit of there's layers to why people may struggle to be vulnerable or to, and I think that's so much of what even last episode on empathy, containment, and validation, we referenced Brené Brown a few times, and how that's a lot of her work is like the thing, the undercurrent of all those three things we talked about is it demands vulnerability. And a lot of times we can struggle to be vulnerable. And so I'm curious, like when you said 9 years ago, there was kind of that season where it sounded just a little, it was probably a little lonely, because you said it was like you didn't have the community you have now. Mm-hmm. And so as you kind of started meeting some of the people that you're really tight with now, like, can you just share, like, what was it like? Because I feel like, at least from my perspective, it seems like in a lot of the closer friends I have, there was almost these moments of choices of like, okay, am I going to go there? Like that extra, it almost feels like who's going to do it first?
Mm-hmm.
Like this dance. And so kind of just, you know, whether it's one specific friendship or multiple, like, but what are those moments like for you? Like what goes on in your mind when you're like, okay, do I go that extra step in being vulnerable? What are some of your fears? And what kind of work did you put in for in those early years of the friendships that you have now that are ride or die and there for you in any moment? But yeah, can you expand on that a little bit?
Yo, did y'all see what Matthew just did? I tried to deflect and go right to him, and he was like, wait a minute, homie, we're gonna come back to this. You put in some work, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Oh man, such good questions, Matthew. You know, I think for me, there's a few different factors into, as I right now just kind of reflect back on those earlier years of kind of building the community. One is when I've had mutual friends, you know, so I know someone and they introduced me to somebody else, right? And so we developed this mutual friendship. And so in some of my friendships, I think about, we've been in the same space kind of multiple times, right? So I've been around some of the same people, and it's like, I chatted with so-and-so and I really enjoyed the conversation. Or sometimes with people, there are things that just stand out to me that I'm like, I want to know more Even I, last fall, as you and I were kind of facilitating some times together, there were a couple women that were in those spaces. And I just reached out to them and I was like, I know we have a lot of mutual friends and there's just something about you. Like, I want to be your friend. So, yeah. I mean, yes, no, maybe, like, you know. And they were like, oh my gosh, yes, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, thank you. Yes. Y'all, shoot your shot with friends too, okay? Yeah. So I shot my shot and they said, yes, I want to be your friend too. So there we go.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I think, yeah, for me, it's like been in, being in some like social spaces where, again, we're having some interactions and then just like I get that one like, hey, let's grab some coffee. I love coffee. So I know that's kind of like the default thing for people. Sorry to all of y'all who do not like coffee, and the coffee lovers always say that. So mindful, like tea or something else.
Oh, I don't say sorry.
Or a glass of wine, maybe, right? So, you know, there's that. But yeah, I think for me, it's been like, oh, I want to get to know more about you. I've heard great things about you from so-and-so, or you spoke and I love what you shared. Like, would love to get some coffee and hang out. And then those have just turned into really rich relationships for me, because we have common interests or we get along, like our personalities go well together. And so those are, as I think about some of my really close friendships, like those have been some of the factors. But I think for me too, it's, you asked about the how do I know when I'm going to go there, right? How am I going to share this like vulnerable thing? And it's after a few, for me, it's like after spending time with that person, I know relationships require some risk, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to require, if I'm going to have a deep relationship with someone, it's going to require a risk to share something that I wouldn't just share if I'm speaking to a group of people or someone I know I don't trust, right? Like, I'm going to have some good boundaries up. And so for me, it's, Leith, you got to take a chance, you know? And I'm not sharing like my deepest, darkest things, but I'm sharing something that is a little more vulnerable. And so when I see people respond to those things, that's for me a moment of, oh, you responded really well to that. Like, you, I don't feel shame or guilt. Mm-hmm. You didn't react weird. Like, you didn't like cut me off and like not respond to my texts anymore. And so, like, I've had those experiences, and not always, right? I can look back in my past and see where I took a risk and that it didn't go well, you know? Yeah. But I would say, as I reflect on the last few years, like, I've had those where I've just been hanging out with someone and I've vulnerably shared a little bit more than I had previously. And they reciprocated it, or it was received well. And so that for me is a marker of, okay, I can trust this person a little bit more. And I also, because of like some of the connectedness to other people, knowing other people speak well of them too. So I think that is an element that has helped me, as I have a lot of these relationships and friendships that are, again, like connected with other people. When I hear people that I trust and that I know speak well of some other people, and then if I get to be in situations with them, that kind of pushes me along a little bit to say, if so-and-so like is vouching for this person, they must be solid. Like, I trust their opinion on people. And so whether or not I'm going to be friends with them is a different story, but it opens up a little bit more. So anyways, those are a few things that come to mind.
Yeah.
And I have to nurture those friendships. And so it requires like creating space to do that. So pre-COVID, it was going to friends' houses, going over there for for the weekend, traveling. So when I've had work trips, like I will tack on days prior to the trip or days after, because I typically have friends in those locations. So it's like, hey, I'm coming there and I'm there for work, but like, I want to spend time with you. So I'm intentional to make space for those friendships. Even if it's just like, oh, I can only get lunch, I'll take it. Like, I want to spend some time with you. Like, I want to hang out. I want to do life with you. It's really important for me to do life with friends in their local context too, and not just say, hey, come to me. And it's part of my personality. I love to travel. I love to go do things. I do enjoy being in Atlanta and enjoying time with friends here as well. We get to do some fun things in the city together, different festivals and pre-COVID again, or just, hey, let's go to dinner, stuff like that. Like, but it requires for me to make sure I'm paying attention. Like, have I spent time with my people? Do they know what's going on in my life? Have they reached out and I haven't responded to that? Or I've learned also, here's another thing, last thing I'll share with this. This was five years ago, almost 6 years ago. I read this thing. It was a leadership training I went to, and it was talking about needs of a leader. And that felt a little foreign to me, because what I had heard a lot growing up when it came to leadership was you just give, give, give. You pour out, mm-hmm. you pour out. Never hearing much about what it means to like fill your own tank, right? Like you can't give what you don't have. Like I would kind of hear that, but never had it like modeled or people talk about it. Leaders serve. That's what you do. And so I was reading this document. It was talking about like needs that leaders have. And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, you need to like, as a leader, in order to lead well, you like actually you have needs and you need to articulate those needs. And I was like, okay, this feels a little scary, right? But then what I quickly realized was that had to translate to my friendships. Mm. And so I was like, man, okay, if a couple of the things that I know that I need just as a person, I need encouragement sometimes or affirmation, not in a like, oh, just make me feel good and puff myself up, like not in that way whatsoever, but sometimes I just need to be reminded of what is true, right? Like it's not just an encouragement to me, that's an affirmation of what's true about God and about me. And I need feedback sometimes too, like when I've missed in friendships, like I need you to tell me, like I don't always get it right. And so conflict, like I will engage in conflict, like it's not fun, but if I need to, I will, for the betterment of our friendship. And so when I realized that I needed to communicate my needs to my friends, it was really uncomfortable, but it has been a game changer in my friendships for me to articulate, here's how I'm actually doing it. Here's what I need. Now, whether or not they could quote meet the need and we have that type of friendship where they can respond to that. I have multiple people in my life who I can express those things to. And so those are, again, just a few things that immediately come to mind as I've just built and nurtured community. But again, it hasn't been just me. Like these are all, I'm sharing all the things that I know I need to do. But again, it's been reciprocated. It's been developed. It's grown because of the investment of the other person, other people that are in my community. And so it's made it really rich because it's been both.
Yeah. I love hearing more about that and just kind of where I think just the people's journeys to their friendships and their just the ways, you know, all of us carry so much in our story. Like you said, there's been times you've taken those risks and it wasn't reciprocated or there's hurt there. And it's hard to not let those are really real things. And we talked in our last episode how really painful negative experiences, they get locked into our brains. And so when you do have a good experience of the friendship, it kind of helps rewrite that experience of like, wait, I am worthy of a friendship. I am worth and of being invested into. And so I appreciate that. And yeah, I think there's many ways I feel like I'm similar and maybe in ways I'm different. But on a broader standpoint, I think where community is so important in the fight for justice is never go at anything alone. Mm. And I think one of the things I have found when we're dealing with things like white supremacy and patriarchy and the more toxic, violent ways, systemic ways, and you know those often involve meetings and all of that kind of stuff. And I think one of the things that I realized almost 2 years ago was the need to go into those types of meetings with people, like to never go into any meeting alone. And that's one of the biggest things I always tell people when they're dealing with things in their churches or in their local context, or if they're in ministry or a part of a ministry, whatever it may be, never go in any meeting alone. Because then that's where I think a lot of the gaslighting can happen.
Yep.
A lot of the ways that people are legitimately going to try to make you feel like you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's something that's just so important, even if it's not a very close inner circle friend, but someone who you can trust and someone who would have your back, to never go into any meetings alone when you're dealing with these types of things.
That's good.
Especially if there's a power difference in that. So I think that's a huge thing that I've learned and that I always want to encourage people to have an advocate, have a friend, a coworker, someone. And then on a more personal level, I think that, it's so important. And I think this last year, it's been so, it sucks because I haven't been able to see most of my friends, and that's been hard, and a very hard year that we've seen, not just globally and nationally, but just, you and I have talked multiple times just about the ways that these things on a global, national, local level, and then just life have all impacted us. And I just think that for me, one of the biggest things that one of the ways that I can see community playing out, the ones I can really, really trust, is I blur the lines between transparency and kind of vulnerability or authenticity. I think for me, I tend to fall into transparency, where I'm kind of like, I'm an open book. I'll tell you whatever you want to know, but I won't necessarily open myself up. And so I think for me, community that can see that, like when I'm blurring those lines, like they can read in between the lines of like, oh, he's not really like going there. And I think for me, there's fears, you know, I think there's fears that I might be too much or my story is too much. Especially I think about my mom having cancer, and this has been our journey for 16 years. I'm like, are people tired of hearing about her cancer? Are people tired of hearing about whatever it may be, my frustrations with the church or my hurt as a person of color? And so I think those who, like, going back to the last episode, like containing, like who can contain, allow me to be angry, allow me to be where I need to be. I think it's just, those are friendships that really go far for me. Like almost like I don't feel like I'm threatening them, or I'm not bothering or burdening them and stuff like that. So I think it's, but there's lies there. There's reasons why I believe those things. But community where there is a, now I will say this, I just saw something about toxic vulnerability, and that's a whole other thing I need to process for like months. Because I think that also happens in Christian evangelical spaces, is for like this vulnerability that's like expected and then used against you.
Come on, and now so, make it make again, sense
that, well, maybe that'll be another episode later
maybe
on,
yeah.
But I think that, so then even then I feel like I'm kind of in this, I also don't want to be taken advantage of, I don't want someone to use something against me. And so there is kind of like, I'm like weighing all those things at once. But someone who can contain and who can see that I'm being transparent, not authentic and vulnerable, but someone who's not going to use that against me, I think those are all my fears. Even thinking about from an Enneagram standpoint, eights don't necessarily want power, though that's what a lot of people perceive eights to be. It's that we just don't want people to be in power when it's not trusted over us.
Yeah, to control you.
I actually read the stuff about how eights, when they're really healthy and they have trusted leadership, they love being submissive. And I'm like, that's totally me. If I'm in a very trusted dynamic, I don't need to be in charge. And so I think for me, though, there is this like fear of power over me that's going to be misused, because it has been in different spaces that I've been in. And so community is so important, but it takes risks. Like it takes that, like I said, I think a lot of my friendships, I had those moments of, oh, am I going to take that a step further? And also I think one memory that stands out for one of my good friends is, this is a while ago, like 8 years ago. We were both kind of in the same ministry context, and I just feel like there was something off in our friendship for like 6 months, and we were hanging out, and I just almost felt like we kept trying to one up each other, which I think from a masculine standpoint, I think guys can struggle. We can struggle going deeper, and from everything that we talked about in the unhealthy masculinity episode, but I just felt like we almost like, well, low key, like how can we almost one up each other without being too prideful? And then I just finally named it. I'm like, I think I feel jealous of you in some ways. And I feel threatened, honestly. And it was crazy because he said the same thing back to me. And I was like, wait, we're both feeling that way? And like there was like a relief, but also grief. Like, man, this was a part of our friendship that kept us from being real with each other for 6 months. But like actually taking that risk and even admitting something like jealousy or I feel hurt. I think I don't want to share when I feel hurt to another friend because I don't want to come off too needy. And it's all those things that I'm overthinking. And so I think, though, like I know that in what friendship, you know, when you talk about and you just talk about all the good things, does that really create and foster that safety and that place where I can be known when I'm not doing as great as you are? And And that's even like for Lindsay and I feel like one of the things that we committed to when we started dating is I feel like a lot of times couples can just even put out just like the good parts about their marriage or their parenting and not talk about the struggles, not talk about in sermons or whatever it may be. It just feels like it's all it doesn't feel real most of the time. And so even we committed anytime we talk about our marriage in social media or when we're giving talks at conferences is that we'll talk about both the good and the bad because it doesn't paint this picture that that we're all good. It's like, no, we have struggles. And so mm-hmm. I just think people, I think for me, the biggest thing is containment and those who can see when I'm not being vulnerable and who can do that in such a way that is respectful, but also courageous. So those are some of my thoughts when it comes to community.
No, those are really good. I love how you kind of did like the broad picture of it, but then kind of again came personal. And I love what you just shared even right there towards the end about feeling like bad, like, oh, so going so good for my friend, but like, I feel like I'm barely hanging on. I don't want to share that because I'm going to disrupt how good our conversation is or make them feel bad. And I actually articulated that to a friend. This was several months ago. And I felt that of like, I'm struggling. And she had shared some really like things were going well. And so I just articulated like, I feel bad, like even sharing this. And again, responded so well of like, but this is what we do in our friendship. We have space for both. Like, I want to know if you're not doing well. And hopefully some of the happy things will spark some encouragement for me. But even if they don't, like, there's space for both. So I love that you named that. I wanted to ask a follow-up because I love that you share the blurring the line of transparency and vulnerability and being authentic. So what has it been like? When do you recognize it, or do you recognize it? And then like with those friends, like how have you built that they're able to say, I don't really think you're being very vulnerable or authentic right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think there's times where I know I'm doing it, and most of the time when I'm conscious of it, it's needed because I need to be guarded in certain spaces I'm in. So there's times where I think I'm purposely doing it, but I think that when I'm not purposely doing that, I think there's the way that several of my friends have pointed out is even in my struggles, how I communicate it of like, I can be in this dark place, but then I kind of round it out, not to make it necessarily I'm happy or I'm that it's all good, but I've already kind of analyzed it and arrived to all my conclusions. So there's almost no space for even care or like, can you just be in need? Can you be confused? Can you be in process? And I don't like, I'm not trying to consciously do that with those who I trust, but I ended up just doing it. And I think I do have this very heightened independence of, I don't want to need anybody. Mm. And I think, again, that is very connected to my story. I think feeling like sometimes I was too needy, then I'm like, oh, I never want to be needy. So then because of my personality, I go in extremes. And so I'm like, all right, I'll just go the other extreme, which isn't good.
Yeah.
And so I think I have had some friends who know how to reframe a question where it kind of has to make me connect my body and mind and my emotions.
Wow.
Because I think that there's like this disconnect sometimes, and I can be talking about very traumatic, painful stuff, but I'm sharing it in a monotone, or I'm sharing it in a way that I've arrived at all my conclusions and what I need to do next, even if it's like, oh, I'm in the dump, but now I know what steps to take to get out of the dump. Mm-hmm. So that those are the signs that some of my friends who are just like, ooh, and some of them I'm very grateful feel comfortable enough just to tell me directly.
Yeah, I need those people.
So yeah, and I think just in general, I think just when it comes to justice, I think it's having friends who let me be where I need to be. And it is like right now, especially in our day and time, I feel like there's more days of the week than not where I'm angry, confused, pissed. And so friends who stand with me in that. And so I think those are some of the things, like, it's just so important to have those friendships. Yeah. And also to not assume, I think, sometimes I feel like where it's like, oh, if we all just read each other's minds, it'll just be easier because I can just anticipate your needs.
Yep.
But like what you're saying, like communicating our needs, like, hey, I need you to ask this, or hey, I need you, and not be mean about it. Like, I need this, or this is not helpful when you do this. And I think part of it is as in friendships, especially if we don't have ample time, like we're in college or something, we're spending every day together, but it's going to take learning each other and teaching each other almost how to care for one another.
Yep.
And so I think, but that also, again, it all comes back to vulnerability. Like it's so important to have a posture of vulnerability. Again, in trusted relationships, I don't think it's a blanket statement that I know that a lot of people who are listening to this often probably feel hurt by the ways that they've been vulnerable in certain spaces. And so I acknowledge that. And so, But in this work of justice, I just think it's simple as far as you cannot do it alone. Mm-hmm. Don't Amen. Go at it alone. Don't Amen. Process it alone. Don't try to recover on your own. Mm-hmm. And so community is so essential. And it is a form of self-care, but as, I think it's specific to be its own standalone.
For sure.
But thing that we talk about.
Yeah, but I love how it is connected, right? Like I was just thinking about that. Like community is part of self-care. If I'm known, that and I'm known by my community, that is a part of being like the self-care I need is I need to be known, right? I need, which means I had to communicate my needs too, right? But I need to really be known. And so, I would love to, as we continue talking about like in the justice work, some of the self-care things and self-care, I feel like it feels almost like a hot topic these days because it became, it's amazing how stuff becomes popularized so fast these days. Like, one thing gets put on Twitter or Instagram and it's like, boom, that's the thing, you know? And so people got all their feelings about self-care and what that means, what it looks like. Is it selfish? Yeah. Is it not? You know, all the things, which this is not an episode on self-care. Just want to be clear.
Yeah.
We're just talking, we're going to be sharing just what are some of the self-care things in the work of fighting for justice.
Yeah.
We do need to care for and tend to our souls. Part of that is being connected to people. Is what even Matthew were just saying about don't do stuff alone. Like you need people. But Matthew would love to hear in addition to your people being known in that way, what are some of your like, do you have favorite things you, when you think about self-care, what are some of your favorite things and or like you must do when you recognize, wow, okay, I got to get myself together. What are some like, I got to do this.
Yeah, no, that's good. I also just agree. I feel like there's like a flood of things coming through my mind of like when something kind of gets turned into this popular thing and then it almost feels like, well, there's still truth to it, but how do I talk about it? You know, like it happened with gaslighting, you know, it became a thing and now it's all over I think there's a lot of examples of that. But I think one of the things that I've noticed and I've been trying to do a lot more this last year is when stuff goes down, and it does feel like things go down daily. So when stuff really goes down, just to know, like, I'm someone who internalizes it into my body, and then my body just starts breaking down over the next couple of weeks. And so one of the things is when things do happen, and I think one of the examples is when everything happened with the Capitol. And I remember I had a couple more meetings that day and that night, and I just was like, I can't do this right now. I just can't. And I don't want to feel bad for canceling things because I'm just in this really dark space right now. And so I think for me, knowing when that, and not everyone has the ability to do that with their work or their situations, but when you can, it's like making sure to build in within the first 24, 48 hours, are there things that can be moved? Are there things that could be canceled so that you can just be? It may not even process it, but just be and not have, and for me, it's not, so my body doesn't just absorb all of that. So that's a really important thing for me is to be mindful of my schedule after things happen. And on a national, local level. So that's a huge one. I think another one for me is working out is huge for me. I have a lot of mental health struggles and working out just really, it's a priority daily because I get super stressed out and I've been constantly stressed over the last year and a half. And to be able to prioritize that in my schedule and to make it work, I know that's really important for me. And so I think that's been a huge one for me this last year and having even goals. And it's just nice to turn off my mind. And I think another thing with community though, I know we just talked about that for a while, but I think people who just get it, you know, so I think they're in some of my inner circle may not always get it just because that's not their lived experience. And so I think there's just times where, you know, I just think about like the nod, you know, when you just like, You just are fully understood without, and there can be zero words. And that happened to me one time. Some friends and I were flying somewhere, and I literally, as I was about to step on the plane, even though I went through security, I was the one randomly selected, and my bag ripped open and everything. And my friend, who is Black, was coming right after me, and he just looked at me, and like I never felt more known than just like the look and the nod, and just like, I got you. And just like that right there, like I don't even need to talk about all of this stuff. There's times where I want community, but I don't want to talk about it.
Yes.
And so I think that's a form of self-care. Like, do I have spaces where I can just be? Mm-hmm. We can watch something where, in this weird way, I do feel fully known, even though we're not talking about mm-hmm. it, but you just understand.
Yep.
And so I think when something goes on, especially when it's specific to justice, having people who have similar lived experiences or same ethnic background or person of color, just so that you can be in that space, and just there's a relaxation that kind of comes with that. Mm. And there's probably a bunch of other more self-care tips I can give, but those are, look at your insurance. Insurance sometimes covers some stuff that you never thought, like our insurance covers massages. And so I get them.
Well.
Or acupuncture and other things like that. And so, like, looking at your insurance and just like, what mental health or massage, acupuncture, whatever it may be, like, what are the things that are covered that I wouldn't be able to afford normally, mm-hmm. but that I could do because of this? And so I kind of have a lot more, even just thinking, like, I know some friends of mine actually have like almost like a safety plan, but like a crisis plan after something mm-hmm. happens, where when their brain and body's triggered, they don't have to think, okay, what are all the things I need? But they actually know. They have it written mm-hmm. down. They've had other friends look at it. Okay, I need to do A, B, C in the next couple of days, not to avoid the pain,
yeah.
but to not let it be compounded and internalized.
That's good.
So those are just some first thoughts right now with self-care. But what about you?
I'm shocked you didn't say binging shows. I mean,
oh my goodness. Wow.
Amazing. Like, that didn't cross your mind. Oh, I got it covered. Don't worry.
Thank you.
But
thank
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You, so you share it for me.
I mean, all the other stuff you shared was really good too. You know, I was just like, wow, he didn't share that. Interesting. Okay. Okay. So for me, okay, I can't even believe I'm about to say this. I never thought I'd be one of these people. But one of my friends, she knows who she is, introduced me to yoga. And y'all, I was always a person like, I was not flexible. Like, I had to get stretched by our trainer. I played college basketball and I would have to get stretched by our trainer before practices and games because my hamstrings are like, nah, sis, we don't go that far. And so I'm like, yoga, people are bendy and doing all that, moving their bodies in ways that I just don't think my body will do. And so finally, after a while, I said, you know what? I'll try it. And I would be lying if I said I did not enjoy it sometimes, or I feel a difference in my body. And so that's one of the things as I'm learning about what it means to be embodied in my faith, and just in life. Like, I can now recognize when my body is tense or tight, when things are happening. And so one of the things, it's like, okay, let me just go knock out, like, give me a little 10, 20 minute little yoga thing. And let me just, I need to move my body. Like,
yeah.
I'm in the house or in the morning, like, okay, I got a long day. Let me just knock that out. And it's, I feel the difference in my body. And I'm like, wow, okay. Like, I needed that. It helped relax me. So that's one thing. I cannot believe I just said that publicly.
Hey, being vulnerable.
I know.
But also, just for people who are listening, I know, is it Kathy who does the Women of
Kathy
Color?
Kathy Kong, yep.
Yeah, Women of Color, yep. Yoga. And,
yes.
And
y'all,
so on
y'all
virtual.
Check that out. It's donation-based. White allies that are listening, y'all can pay for your friends of color and donate and give to Kathy as she's leading a significant every Monday. Go check out her Instagram. She posts about it. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me about that. Kathy, I'm coming. I'm going to join one time. I need to actually put it in my schedule because I forget. So there's that. What else? But I, you know, watching shows, MSEC, Madam Secretary, just stays on. It's just such a comfort for me. Or just trying out some other shows. I'm learning, like, boundaries. I feel like you were hitting on some of that, right? Of like, I need to be known but not talk about it. Sometimes, like, I need to read or watch or listen to something that's not talking about trauma or pain or fighting for justice. Like, I need a break. So shows or music. I love music. And so sometimes I'll recognize, like, I need to get out of the house. I'm going to go get a coffee and I just need to listen to some music. So if I'm either craving listening to something or I just need something in the background, but I just, that's light or it's fun or something like that, that really helps me get out of the, like, if I'm in a funk or I just need my mind fixated on something different. I'll listen to music. So whether I'm in my room, like I said, or I'll get in my car and just leave and go get some coffee. But that is a thing I recognize as I learn more about myself, is like, I know I need to get in the car and just go leave for a little bit. And I just need to listen to music. I'm not answering any calls. I don't talk to nobody. I just need a break. So I really resonate with your boundaries of, I want to be with people, but I don't want to talk about what's going on because I've talked about it enough. I don't need to process anymore. I don't need to vent anymore. I need something lighthearted. I need to laugh with you. I need to, I don't know, just sit and not even say anything, you know? Yeah. So those are a few things that I think just caring, or just like, I think about what brings me joy. Mm-hmm. So even my friends coming back to community, like they will ask me questions. Hey, have you XYZ? Hey, maybe you should XYZ tonight. Ah, that's really helpful. And so when I'm kind of stuck sometimes, my people know when to let me ask you the question too. So, and this is, you mentioned this not before we started recording, so I'm just going to throw this out publicly and jab you again. When I talk about shows, I just want to highlight that Crash Landing on You just posted that there's going to be a musical. They're producing a musical. So shout out to all my Chloe people, get ready. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I'm excited. I just want to say it's been months and multiple jabs in a couple of our group me's, y'all. And Matthew still has not watched Crash Landing on You. So all my Crash Landing on You fans, go ahead, DM him.
I'm going to start getting hate mail in my DM.
Just push him a little bit. Our brother needs apparently a little more encouragement. I'm not sure why, but he does.
I'm going to delete my Instagram.
So when this episode drops. You're going to disable your DMs? Turn off comments? But nah, real talk, K-dramas. They have a special place in my heart too, so that is a way to care for myself, decompress. So anyways, you know, we have to have some fun and humor and sarcasm interjected into these things. So those are
actually again, got a couple more too as we wrap up, just some random off that aren't as deep.
Yeah.
But yes, the binging, that's like my love language. Just binging on Netflix, Disney Plus, whatever show I'm into at the time.
Also, y'all, that reminds me, Matthew might try to get in an episode where he just gets to talk about Marvel. Now, I'm a Marvel fan, but I don't know. So he might.
Maybe we'll have to boot you off for an episode and have Tyler come on or something.
Well, you know, maybe. Maybe
and then you can boot me off and have a whole episode on Crash Landing on You.
Oh my gosh, I love the way you're thinking right now. See?
Right, see? It's mutual. It's two-way road. Yes. But a couple other things. Good food and good wine. I can't believe that neither of us shared that, actually. When I'm kind of in a low place, and even I feel like my friends know, like, food is a way to my heart, and just like just to have some good food and good wine. And another one too is, and this is a vulnerable moment. Uh-oh. Since you did the yoga one, I'll do kind of my equivalent.
Okay.
Is hip hop classes.
What?
I went twice a week almost for 2 years. And it was, you know, we would do a whole minute long worth of a hip hop dance. And I miss it. That's one of the things that I am looking forward to as things start opening back up. But it's honestly one of the biggest self-care things for 2 years. It's just, I go in, I don't think. Because if I for 1 second stop paying attention, I will look like a fool, more like a fool than I already am. And so, but like, I think some of the things though, it's like, what are the things that I love, but I'm scared to do? What feels vulnerable?
That's good.
You know, whether it be yoga or hip hop classes or other things, music, art, that is very therapeutic and that is really good for the soul. And so I think even for those who are listening, like, what are the things that you love doing that does feel vulnerable, like a hobby or something that you can practice during this fight for justice? Because we need it. We need those more natural, like, you need real therapy and then you need food and then you just need some non-real therapy, but that's therapeutic.
Exactly. It needs to be integrated. So, that's what I'm thinking of as you're saying all that. Like, these things have to be integrated. So it means making space in your schedule, you know, having those boundaries and saying, you know what, like, we're not going to have that conversation today or whatever. And this is where I'm really at, you know, just to really care for yourself and tend to your soul. So it needs to be integrated. That's what I wanted to say. Yeah. So,
but yeah, I hope that these are helpful for people who are listening as far as just the ways, like the importance of community, the importance of practicing self-care in the midst of fighting for justice. Mm-hmm. And we know that, you know, this, it's just, there's a lot going on right now in the world. And so we really need to make sure, for those who are listening, we like, we need to be in this for the long haul, you know, and fight for justice and for equality and equity and liberation. We take a toll. It takes a toll on our bodies and hearts and souls and relationships. So community and self-care are things that can really help carry us through the the really hard and dark times. So I'm glad that we talked about this today.
Yeah, it was good. It was therapeutic for me to talk about this. This was good. See?
And if y'all have like some tips for us, you're like, I know you, and please, maybe you could use a little of this or a little bit of that.
Yikes.
Tell us.
Or if you don't know us, it's okay too. And just, you know, DM us, drop in the comments. Hey, have you thought about this? We are, like Matthew said early on, we are still learning. We don't have it all figured out. There are ideas that we have not thought of that would could actually be really good for us or for other people. So that's the other thing too, is drop some stuff in the comments and say, hey, like, this is what I do. And hopefully it could be encouraging to someone else. So again, it's integrated and in community, and we're doing it together. So let's let's spur one another on, encourage one another in the process.
And whenever you do listen to this episode, make sure right away, start putting things on your calendar of self-care.
Well,
just practice it right away. Even pause this episode and then just go.
There you go. See, very practical.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. This is the Roll Down Podcast, and we're part of the Chasing Justice Podcast Network. To find out more, visit chasingjustice.com. Please rate and review us on Spotify and Apple and share with your friends. You can find us on Instagram at the Roll Down Podcast, and our team that continues just to be the most baller team ever. Caleb, Jaslyn, Cameron, Alex, Emma, everyone. Am I forgetting anyone?
No.
I feel like our team's growing so much that I'm like losing track of who's who. But we're just so grateful for all the people who do so much to make this happen. We don't deserve this type of team. And thank you for listening to The Roll Down.
Thanks, y'all.